Thank you, Don, for those great songs. Very encouraging. A lot of times those older songs are very encouraging and meaningful, so I appreciate you leading those, and I appreciate Reggie's prayer and mentioning the men overseas that we support, and I appreciate that. And we're in a congregation here that is very loving and caring about not only brethren here, but in other parts of the world, and I'm glad to be associated with you, good brethren. Don mentioned something about troubles going on in our lives. If you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 this evening, we're going to learn this evening how that we can get some help in troubled times. I'm glad that you're here. It's good to be able to have an opportunity to study God's Word. If you're visiting, you're our honored guest. Thank you for being with us, and we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. Recently, Bob asked me if I would do some preaching on 2 Timothy 3 and 4. We were trying to wrap that up in our adult Bible class. Bob and Jeff were teaching that class, and appreciate them doing that. We were able to get through chapter 3, but not into chapter 4. This evening, I'd like to do some preaching on chapter 3, and then, Lord willing, when I get back, I've got a gospel meeting next week. If you'll please pray for that, I'll be gone in Chicago for a week. But when I get back, Lord willing, I can do some lessons out of chapter 4, this great message to Timothy. But we do live in troubled times, and I don't have to tell you that when you turn the news on and when you look out and see what's going on in the world, that you see difficult problems going on. Parents are saying, I'm concerned for my children and the world that they're growing up in. Grandparents are saying, I'm concerned for my grandkids and the world that they're growing up in. Christians are concerned. And we do live in a period of time where all of these bad and negative things are going on. But I'm here to tell you this evening that Paul is going to give us hope. He's going to give us a threefold procedure or steps that we can take to insulate ourselves and isolate ourselves from these troublesome things. And there is hope that we can go through this world filled with all of this sin, and we can come out on the end and be right with God and go be with Him in heaven. But we've got to do these things. And Paul does not simply tell Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1 and following, there's a bunch of bad stuff going on. He's going to say, here are some things you can do to stay faithful. And when we talk with our children, we need to be realistic. Hey, things are bad, but here's what you can do to stay faithful. We need to talk to our grandkids and tell them things are bad. Be open and honest, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Just be open with them about what's going on. Don't try to sugarcoat it. It's troublesome times, grievous times, depending upon what version you have. We don't need to sugarcoat that. It's real. But we also need to give them the hope that they can be faithful and stay faithful to the Lord through all these things. So I hope this evening our lesson that I've entitled Troubled Times will encourage us and help us. Lord willing, when I get back, we can have some material on chapter 4. When you look at the world around us, you see problems. I mentioned to you recently the statistics among adults is down about 10% among those who were reading the Bible. The state of the Bible that is printed by the United Bible Society said in 2022 that readership among adults is down 10% from the upper 40% now down to the upper 30%. About 38% of American adults are reading the Bible on any regular basis. 38%. And you know about the high percentage of divorce and the low percentage of marriage. You know about the high rate of homosexuality. You know about the growing trend of so-called transgenderism. You know about all of these things. And the attitudes that are behind these things were going on in Paul's day. They were so widespread that Paul could write in Romans several years before 2 Timothy, maybe 10 years or so before 2 Timothy in the 50s AD. He writes in Romans 1 about these sins. He writes about them in the book of Galatians, which was probably even before Romans. He writes about them in the book of Ephesians and Colossians. Often when Paul writes, he has a list of these sins. It's clearly going on in his world. And he brings it up. And he's going to bring it up to Timothy. But he's going to give him some hope and encouragement. And that's what we want to look at this evening. Paul's going to say, number one, you need to identify the problem and understand where it's coming from. Number two, he's going to say, you need to focus on godly examples. And number three, you need to stand with the Scriptures. I appreciate what Reggie said in his prayer about standing with the Word of God. That's actually how we're going to close this evening, Reggie, with that very point. Yeah, we're in troubled times. But we can make it through. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul writes, "But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come." This is variously translated in different Bibles. Mine says grievous times, yours might say difficult times. The Greek word literally means hard or harsh. Some translations have difficult, troublesome, grievous, hard. It's going to be a difficult time. And there are men and women who are bringing about these troubled times. They're living ungodly lives. And so he launches into a list of individuals and what they're doing. We're not going to take the time to define each of these words. Bob did that recently in the adult Bible class, but you can get a sense very quick that this is not a good group of people to be with. So in verses 1 through 9, what are we to do? Paul says the first thing you need to do is identify the source of the problem. Today in the world, when things like this go on, when we start reading in verse 2 and following all these bad things that are going on, in the world today, the way it's identified as, well, that's just someone's lifestyle. Okay? The world is not going to identify the problem the way it needs to be identified. Well, it's just somebody's lifestyle, or this is how they were born, or it's their environment that is causing them to do this, or we should all have a choice to live any way we want. Some will actually describe it as love. Two men are in love. And they have all these ways of identifying things, but it's sin. One of the reasons we are having the difficult times that we're in, and Paul said that it's in his days, the last days, when he's writing to Timothy all the way up until the present day, and until Jesus comes again, we're going to have this problem. One reason why it goes on is many people do not identify it the way it needs to be identified. And all we do is we excuse it by saying, well, they have a choice, or they're born that way. Or we should let them have the freedom. And we hear this today, freedoms and rights. I have the right to change my gender, which you can't do. I have a right to marry another man. I have a right as a woman to marry another woman. So it's freedom and it's rights and it's choice and it's the way I was born. And we use all these words simply to condone sin. So Paul says to Timothy, the first thing you need to do, and as you're talking with the local church there at Ephesus, as you're working in with that congregation, identify the true source of the problem. So let's see what that is. Men shall be lovers of self. Let's just stop right there. Paul is going to say, I'm going to give you three words that sort of categorize what's going on here in verses 1 through 9. The first one is, we've got misplaced love. Now, you can read down through and you can read the individual problems that are going on, but the big picture is people are loving the wrong thing. So you've got right off at the head, at the top, lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness but having denied the power thereof, from these also turn away. If you need to identify what the problem is, and the problem is people are loving the wrong thing. That really is the root of this. Back in the year in which I was born, the songwriter Hal David wrote a song, and it was made popular in music by Burt Bacharach. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. I love that song. It's a great song. Yeah, I'm all for that.
Okay.
But you got to define what kind of love you're talking about. Yeah, the world needs love. The problem is, the world's got plenty of love today. It's got all kinds of love. The love for the wrong person and love for the wrong thing. I'm all for love. But that's the problem. People have the wrong kind of love. And so when you're loving self, and when you're lovers of money, and you're no lovers of good, rather than lovers of God, you're going to have a problem. And that's the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem today is not love, it's the wrong kind of love. And selfishness is at the top of the list, and selfishness drives so much of the problem in society today. What I want, and what I feel, and what I think, and what I should have, and my rights, and my choice, and it's my body, etc. And so here we go. So, Paul says, let me tell you something. There's a bunch of bad going on, but the fundamental root problem is love and the wrong kind of love. So when you're loving yourself and when you're loving material things, loving money, and you don't love good and you don't love God, in verse 4, you love pleasure, hedonism, we get that word. Isn't that what it's all about today? The high life, alcohol, and games, and fun. And I'm all for good, clean fun. I'm all for a vacation. I'm all for wholesome entertainment. But that's not what this is. This is giving over to the gratification of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, sinful lusts, those types of pleasures. We're not talking about good, clean, wholesome fun. When you love that, there's going to be a problem. So we've got to call it what it is. And we've got to identify the source of the problem. We're doing nobody any favors by trying to cover it up, Paul says. And notice how open he is about it in verses 2 through 5. When you're talking with your kids and your grandkids, or you're trying to help someone stay away from the world, just be plain with them about what's going on. Call sin what it is. Call sin, sin. And talk with them about blunt reality of what's going on. It is a bunch of selfish people who don't love God. And we've got to get God in our lives and back in our lives and in the lives of our children and our grandchildren. That's what's going to turn this thing around. But until that happens, it's going to go down this dark path. And it will be trouble. And all it does is cause trouble for people. Notice that the troublesome times or the grievous times or the difficult times are caused by people who are living in sin and promoting sin. It's not caused by good Christians. It's not caused by God. It's not caused by faithful Christians. It's caused by the selfish, materialistic, hedonistic atheist. Look at those four things again. Lovers of self, egoism, lovers of money, materialism, lovers of pleasure, hedonism, and no lovers of God, atheism. Now you add those four things together, you're in big trouble. So Paul says, number one, it's a fundamental problem of the wrong kind of love. Number two, they're not content with just living their own profligate lifestyle. They want to take you with them. And so read with me in verses 6 and 7. For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sins, led away by divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. There are several things that are good, but I just want to focus tonight on the fact that they creep into houses and take captive individuals. They want to captivate you. They want you to buy into their agenda. They want you to get on board, and many of them are doing quite well because there are a number of state legislatures that are perfectly fine with passing laws that back a lot of that ungodliness. So yeah, they're making good headway there. But they want to take you captive, and they want to take captive through information that is presented at school. They want to take you captive by even some things that happen on your job in the HR departments and other things like that. They work it in there. It's not just at school. The adults are getting bombarded as well. It's many places. It's all over social media. It's everywhere. And they want to captivate you. Those who are, my version says, silly women. People who are not grounded in truth. Light. They're spiritually lightweight. We've got to be a spiritual heavyweight. We've got to be grounded in the Word of God, so that someone doesn't take us captive into their sinful ideologies and practices and plans. So number one, they're all stuck on themselves. And number two, they want to take you down with them. Don't let them. As parents, we have to fight. As grandparents, we have to fight. As elders in the church and gospel preachers and concerned members of the church, we have to fight. There's a fight on. It's a spiritual battle. It's on. And we're going to say, no, you're not going to take me captive to your egoistic, materialistic, hedonistic, and atheistic lifestyle. No, it's not going to happen. And then number three, turn with me at verses 8 and 9. These folks are rebels. Even as Jannes and Jambres, some have suggested that this might be two of the magicians that Moses faced in carrying out the 10 plagues in the book of Exodus. It could be that. But these individuals withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. You underscore that. It's about being rebellious. I am not going to listen to truth. Okay, that's your choice. And God will let you choose that. But we've got to call it out for what it is. They're rebels. They're rebels. They don't want the truth. They don't love God. And we've got to be open about what is going on. Men corrupt in mind, reprobate concerning the faith. Now you underscore that in your Bible. They are corrupt in mind. In today's world, all of these things that I just mentioned earlier, that's portrayed as the intellectual mindset. This is what the scholars say, and the intellectuals and the experts and the doctors are saying this, and the experts are saying that. No, Paul says it's corrupt in mind. This is not thinking of the intelligentsia. This is not the thinking of the super smart, high IQ person. This is corrupt in mind. Notice how Paul just calls it what it is. And one of the best ways to make it through a troubled life that we're in is to just call it what it is and identify it for what it really is. And not be taken in by all the lies and the deceptions of the flowery, nice language that gets put on all of it. It is not that. It's corrupt, it's godless, it's sinful, and all of these things that we've mentioned. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be evident unto all men, as there also came to be. Notice that Paul says that this is a life of foolishness. It's not what it's being portrayed today as, well, this is what the smart people do. This is what the rich people do. This is what the informed people do. I'm hearing this today, that, you know, you Christians, you're this backwoods, you know, illiterate lot of people that don't know anything. We're the smart ones, and we say that this can happen and that can happen. Paul says it's folly, it's foolishness. And in time, people will realize that, and I'm even seeing that even some today with regard to this so-called transgender, that in some places in our culture, it has kind of already run its course because some people are already like, yeah, okay, I'm not buying into that. Paul says, it will become evident unto all men as theirs, Jannies and Jambres, and these other men, as theirs also came to be. In time, you see that this is not the way to be. Sometimes a lifestyle actually brings a disease. We've seen that. Sometimes a lifestyle brings some serious problems, and all of a sudden people wake up and go, "Woo! I guess this was a problem. We shouldn't be doing this." So Paul says that their folly in time will become evident. But what we learn in the Scripture is we can see ahead of time that it's folly, and we don't go down that road. So the first thing that Paul says is, Timothy, identify the true source of what is going on. But turn with me to verse 10, and let's look at the second thing that Paul says to Timothy to give us hope that we can make it through these difficult times. The second thing he says is that you need to follow the right examples. You're going to be surrounded by all of this foolishness and all of this ungodliness, but you keep your eyes set on those godly Christians that are doing the right thing. That's why it's important that we surround ourselves in the local church and in other places by good, godly Christians, and let our children be surrounded by godly Christians, and let our grandchildren be surrounded by godly Christians, because who knows who they have to listen to throughout the week. And even in Montgomery County, there are teachers who are saying things they shouldn't be saying to our children. But they will be able to make it through these difficult times if they have that positive, godly example. That's why being present at every service is important. That's why as much as we can be here, we're going to be here. And outside the service, if we can get together with godly brethren, then we've got to do that. And by doing that, Paul says, you can make it through. So verse 10, but you did follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecutions, sufferings, which things befell me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, those things that we read about, for example, in Acts 13 and 14. What persecutions I endured, and out of all of them the Lord delivered me. Number one, you keep your eyes set on apostolic example. Follow someone like Paul. In today's society, we've really got to work with our kids on this one. Because of social media and other things, the examples, the heroes in today's society are sports figures and music figures. And there's nothing wrong with that per se, but a lot of times young people, they don't have Bible heroes. They need Bible heroes. What they're getting is the foul-mouthed person or the alcohol drinking person or the partying person, and some of these music moguls, it's various women wrapped around their arms, and the party life, and the divorced life, and the immoral life. We need Bible heroes. We need Bible examples in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And Paul said, you followed mine, and that's what's going to keep you straight through these difficult times. And so things like teaching and conduct, one of my favorite ones in this list is the word purpose or aim. Do we have a purpose or an aim in life? Paul did. Do we know what we're doing in the long run? Do we know what we're doing in the short run? We need a daily purpose and goal and aim in serving God. This is what I'm going to get done this day for God and this week and this month and this year. A purpose, an aim, a goal. That was one of my favorite ones in that list. And all of those things that Paul is presenting, Timothy was willing to follow that. Including even, yes, the negative. And that brings us to our next point. Brethren, it's not enough to follow godly examples around us. We have to be the example ourselves. So in verse 10, he goes on, piggybacking off of this idea of persecution. He says, yea, and all that would live godly, that's you and I, and that's Timothy. All that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Number two, you need to be the example in this troubled world. You need to be living the godly life. I need to be living the godly life. Now, it's going to bring persecution, that's right. So it's not enough just simply to follow Bible heroes. We have to be the hero to our children and our grandchildren and our co-workers and our classmates. We have to be the one to offset this foolishness that is going on that is causing the troubled and grievous times. And then Paul says in verse 13, there's going to be evil men and imposters, fakes and frauds. Notice how he calls it out. Notice how he just names it. He just calls it what it is. It's evil. Boy, you try to use the word evil and sin today in a lot of venues, and you'll get ushered out of the room pretty quick. We don't talk like that in here. But that's what this is, brother. And people who are posing, imposters. You're in here supposed to be teaching my child math and English and science, and you're forcing some other ungodly agenda on them, you imposter. And you stand up as a leader on the local level or state level or national level, and you claim to be leading us in this way and that way, and you're shoving ungodly things down our throat, you imposter. You come into a church building, there are men that will stand in pulpits across the lands, and they will defend homosexuality and abortion and other kinds of things. You imposter, get out of the pulpit. That's not in the Bible. Notice how Paul calls it what it is. And we've got to open our eyes to our children and our grandchildren and others. This is what is going on. And it gets worse and worse, verse 13. And it does. Who would have thought that we are dealing with what we're dealing with today, 50 years ago or 70 years ago or so, 100 years ago? It just gets worse and worse. And I'm afraid that there are other things on the horizon that I'm already hearing about that maybe make some of what's going on today look like kindergarten. So, we've got to keep our eyes fixed on those who are living right and going to heaven, Paul and others, and we have to be that example ourselves, and we have to stay away from the imposters and the deceivers. Deceiving and being deceived. I want you to look at that in your Bible. What is going on is These are deceivers. To call something love when it's really not, that's a deceit. To say that something is legal, but it's really not lawful by God, that's a deceit. But don't you be deceived. Here's how that happens. They use really cool language and they have nice words and nice expressions and, ooh, it comes from the smart people, so it must be right. Don't be taken in by that. Use your common sense more so than that. Use your biblical sense. And we can see that these things are wrong. We're not going to be deceived by some imposter. And that's what's going on. It was going on in Paul's day, and it continues until this day. And it seems like every year and every generation, every century, every millennium, that the devil is continuing to perfect his craft. So follow the right examples. But in order to do that, if we're talking about biblical examples, we have to be around the Bible information. We have to be reading our Bibles. And if we're talking about the local church, let us be around our godly brethren who are living right and they're on their way to heaven. Let's be around them as much as we can. And then last of all, Paul will say a third thing. Come with me to verse 14. The third thing that he says that we can do is that we can abide in the Scriptures. The third thing that's going to get us through these troubled times is our relationship with the Word of God. So look at what he says to Timothy in verse 14. But, talking to Timothy, you abide in the things which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom, Paul, thou hast learned them. And from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Every scripture inspired of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. Notice three things that Paul says here about the Word of God. First of all, he says you got to start with the Scriptures. You got to start your life with the Scriptures. In verse 15, because of the faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother, back in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice or Eunice, because of their faith, they passed on the Scriptures when he was a babe. Bob talked about this in his class. We're talking about an infant. We're talking about a babe. You cannot start too early with your children and their relationship with the Word of God. But you got to start with the Scriptures. And one reason why we're seeing an escalation of the problems in our culture is we have what's called the Gen Z. We have those that were born in the early 2000s. They're now around 20 years old. Many of them, if not most of them, have never been raised. They've not darkened the door of any church building. They've not ever opened up a Bible. And their moral compass is their phone and what they're getting on social media. So as much as we can, as parents and grandparents and concerned brethren and our Bible class teachers take in the little children here in Bible classes, which is great, we're trying to get them started. You got to start with the Scriptures. But that's not enough. Look at verse 14. You've got to stay with the Scriptures. I've known of some who have started with the Scriptures, but somewhere down in life, midlife or so, they quit. Abide in the things that you have learned. You've got to stay in them. There are those we know where we do the best we can with our children and we bring them to Bible class and we read the Bible at home. But starting about college age and then I'm off at college and I slowly drift away from the Bible and then it's work after that, my first job and I slowly drift away or it's marriage or something else and so in your 20s and in your 30s, it's gone. We've got to encourage our young people not just to start with these things, but to stay with these things. and talk with them about how that the verse right above it, if you don't stay with these things, you're going to be deceived by the imposters. And it happens very often. Well, I just like the way that they word it. Or I just like the information that they're giving. I really like their attitude. I like the way they're presenting it. They're so caring and loving and unconditional love and tolerant of everybody and inclusive of everybody. I just really like that about them. They're inclusive of everybody. So you get taken in by all of that. So start with the Scriptures, stay with the Scriptures, and then last of all, you've got to stand with the Scriptures. You've got to take a stand on the Word of God. It is the inspired Word of God. It's profitable for these things, and you will be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. It's not simply enough, brethren, to grow up on the Word of God and even stay with the Word of God. You've got to get into the mode of taking a stand with the Scriptures. And young people here this evening, let me encourage you, your parents are raising you on the Word of God. That is awesome. Let me encourage you, when you are at school and at work and other places, you take a stand. When you start taking a stand on your own without mom and dad around, that'll make you strong. And you will find yourself being able to push back this troublesome world that is around you. Take a stand for what the Scriptures say about this or that. And notice in verse 16, among the other things that the Word of God is able to do, it instructs us in righteousness, which is the opposite of the first five verses. All of that is unrighteousness. But this Word of God will instruct you in the right way. Take that Word and denounce all of those things that are in verses 2 through 5. Have the boldness and the courage to speak up, not in a haughty way, not in a, pointing your finger and you better listen to me, but take a stand on the Word of God that this is what the Scriptures teach about this and that, and you'll find yourself being able to push that troublesome world back. But often what happens is those who are raised on the Word of God, they never learn to take a stand themselves when they're with their friends in the dorm room or out on a date or whatever. You know, the preacher, he's the one that's supposed to really get after it, right? No, the preacher's supposed to be taking a stand for the truth. And my mom and dad, a lot of times I hear them taking a stand for the truth. No, I need to as a young person. And when I do that, I can get through this troubled time. There's no question that bad things are out there. I don't have to spend a lot of time reminding you of that. You see it all the time on the news and other things. But Paul gives us hope. And he gave Timothy hope that we can make it through. Number one, identify the real source of the problem and call it is what it is. Call sin what it is. Number two, stay focused on those right examples. I know of young people today that are doing a great job. I know young Christians, some of them belong to you. Young Christians who are out there just living a godly, righteous life. But one thing I know about them is I hear that they are regularly associated with other godly brethren. They're engaged in the local church. They're volunteering to do things. They're around other godly Christians. That's so important. And number three, stick with the Scriptures. The Word of God will help us to defend ourselves from all of these things that are wrong. And sometimes with the Word of God, we might have to give some reproof. Yeah, that's negative in nature. We might have to tell somebody, according to the Word of God, your behavior is sinful. And in a world today where that's frowned upon and looked down upon, so be it. We have to do that from time to time. in taking our stand for the Word of God, and we can help people. There are those, even among us here this evening, who have made changes in their lives. There are people out there who are willing to make a change. There are people out there that are running fast and loose, and they're living it up. They're having a good old time, verses 2 through 5. But something happens in their life, and they want to make a change. We can be there for them. Not all is lost. Not all is hopeless. It is a dark world. But there are bright spots of hope when I see people coming to the gospel. When I see Naomi Asare 3 weeks ago in Ghana pour out the alcohol on the ground, literally. I showed some of you the videos. I don't want to be a part of that anymore. I want to be baptized into Christ. I see that in a troubled world, there are those who want to come out of that. And it's happening here as well. Pray for the Bible studies that we're having here. One came this morning and said that she wants to be baptized and she wants to study. I'll be doing that with her this week. Please pray for that. There are people who don't want to be a part of that world. They don't want to be the cause of that trouble. They don't want that in their lives. They've had enough of that. They're tired of that. They're tired of the trouble and the difficulty and the hardness and the harshness that sin brings. And so they're wanting to make a change, and let's be there for them. Let's save our children. Let's save our grandchildren. Let's save ourselves. And Paul gives us the hope and the way in which we can do that. And I hope that that will help us. When we leave here in just a minute, we're going outside this building into a very troubled world. But there's hope that we can make it through if we'll follow this divine plan. If we can help you to name the name of Christ this evening and put Him on in baptism, let us encourage you to do that. I would love nothing more than to do that. Or if you need to come back to the Lord in some way, please do that and we can pray for you. But thank you, Paul, for just being open about what's about to happen. He did the same thing in the first letter to Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 1. The Spirit says expressly that in the latter days, some shall fall away from the faith. Paul was just open about the difficult times that lie ahead. But he also tells us how to maneuver that and navigate that and come out on the right end. And if we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?